First of all, congratulations on the Grammy nominations.
Thank you.
You're nominated for 3 Grammys. And as we speak, actually, the awards are exactly 1 month away from today, I believe. You're going to be there, I assume.
Yeah, I'm already nervous about it because I hate being judged.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to sit there and then, you know, you don't know who the winner is. And it's just, you know, it's unusual when you're older to be, I feel like I'm a student again, you know, where you're, there's a winner and a loser kind of thing. And so you have to go to it thinking, okay, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's just, you know, the opportunity to be there. And it is a lot of fun because you see a lot of celebrities and people from all walks of life. You see the country and Western guys with the rap guys, with the jazzers and the classical people. It's all mixed up, and you really see the broad spectrum of American music.
Well, you've done this before, obviously, the voice of experience here. Back in 2011, you won 3 Grammy Awards, nominated for 5, I believe, won 3 of them, and with the same group, the Nashville Symphony. Right.
Yeah, it just turned out that so when we did the project, that project, which was a Metropolis Symphony and a piano concerto, Deus Ex Machina, was very fortunate to be awarded 3 Grammys. The conductor said, well, what should we do next? So it took about 6 years but to do another project, and that's the one we have now. But you never know. I think it's something like 3,000 entries for classical. And then from those 3,000 entries, they because you can nominate yourself, or the record company can, or anybody can. So they have about 3,000 entries. Then they have a committee that basically takes each category and reduces it to 15 per category. Then they bring in a special committee of people from around the country from different walks of life in classical music. That then they pare it down to 5. Then the whole academy... If you can belong to the Academy if you've had a recording, and if you belong to the Grammy Association, then you can vote. And then from the 5, you have 1 winner. That's how it works.
That's quite a path.
It is a path. And, you know, and there's a lot of good recordings that don't make the first 15. And of the 15, there's, you know, it's hard to pick 5. And from 5, it's hard to pick 1. So just to get down to the last cut is an honor within itself.
Now, one of the pieces on the recording that is Grammy-nominated is being performed this weekend with the Toledo Symphony. It is the one inspired by William Randolph Hearst, Once Upon a Castle, which is such a great kind of fairy tale title. You have such catchy titles for your works, and I can see where some of them just arise naturally from the subject matter. Others sort of seem like they may have even come before the music did. I mean, how do you come up with... your titles?
Well, I'm somebody who's I'm the kind of composer where I have to have the idea first, and the concept, and in most cases the title of the work as well, before I begin working on the composition. You know, some composers might spend their time working out like a structure of the piece. They might or they might come up with a particular compositional strategies about how they want to do a piece, whatever. For me, it's more an emotional and a narrative concept. And so on the recording, this Grammy-nominated recording, we have The Tales of Hemingway, the cello concerto, which is inspired by the life and times of Ernest Hemingway, the American writer. And then American Gothic, which is inspired by Grant Wood, the painter from Iowa, and his famous painting, American Gothic. And then finally, this Once Upon a Castle, the Randolph Hearst. And we should also mention Orson Welles, who's part of that. The director Orson Welles is part of that, the film director as well. So, the only way I can get into the piece, it has to have some kind of a personal connection for me. And so I have driven down Highway 1 in California often. I was a frequent guest of the Cabrillo Contemporary Music Festival in Santa Cruz, and the first time I went there 15 or so years ago, I rented a car and I drove down Highway 1 down to San Simeon and went to the Hearst Castle. I thought, this is amazing. First of all, it's the most beautiful drive in America, probably. You're right on the coast of Pacific Ocean. There's no one there. You have the incredible vistas of the ocean. That's really something. And then finally you get to the end of the Big Sur drive, you know, and there's the Hearst Castle. And so I just was always fascinated by it and thought it'd be an appropriate piece. And it so happens there is an organ in the Hearst Castle, because where he built a big movie theater with an organ to be played for, I suppose, back in the days of silent films. So it just seemed like it was the perfect subject matter for this particular work.
Are you an organist yourself?
Or you play the organ? I'm a piano player. Right. And when I was a kid, I used to play church organ, but not advanced stuff. And I was never good on the foot pedals, because I'm size 13. I'm 6 foot eight, and I have size 13 shoes. But writing for the organ, first of all, is difficult in itself. And most of the great works for organ have been written by organists. You know, so to write this piece, what I did is I worked with various organists, and I went to, we have an amazing organ at the University of Michigan, Hill Auditorium. There's a fantastic organ, and I would meet with some organists, like a doctoral student, and have them play like Cesar Franck and Vidor and all these famous organ sonatas and Saint-Saëns and so forth, and think like, wow, this is like incredible stuff. I mean, it's very complex music, really, you know. Problem is that the organ is an orchestra within itself. So if you're writing, like when an organist is playing like a Bach, a fugue and so forth, there'd be nothing for the orchestra to do, because the organ would take up all the acoustic space. So as much as it's, you know, great to write an incredibly complicated fugal work passages for the organ with the foot pedals going, whatever, there'd be nothing for the orchestra to do. So the big challenge is how to integrate the organ and the orchestra. And so you can do call and response, the organ plays and the orchestra plays or whatever. But then if you know, you can only do that for so long. And the early organ concertos, that's what they are for orchestra. The organ plays and the orchestra plays. Right. They rarely play together.
Right.
Ironically, the most performed piece for organ and orchestra is Saint-Saëns' Third Symphony, which has an organ part that a high school student could play. And I asked Paul Jacobs, the soloist who's on the Once Upon a Castle, I asked him, why is that? I mean, why would Saint-Saëns, who wrote these amazing complex works for organ, why would the organ part for Saint-Saëns' Third Symphony be like so simple? He said, well, because the place it was performed was in a giant cathedral, and the organ was like at one side of the cathedral, and the orchestra played on the whole other side of the cathedral. So there were incredible problems to synchronize the organ part with the cathedral, with the orchestra, because the only place you could play those works in France were in cathedrals, where you'd have the huge distance, almost a football field separation, like half a football field separation between the organ and the orchestra. So there'd be problems with coordination and time delays. So that's why the piece is written in such a way that it's, you know, that it can be, you know, the organ part's just like playing chords and stuff. There's no complicated organ passages. I must say the Skinner organ, where they play in the Toledo Museum of Art, that Skinner organ is a phenomenal organ.
Right.
It's like, you know, stereophonic sound in the old movie theaters back in the 50s when they expanded it to the, you know, these giant movie screens. The pipes go all the way across from the left side of the theater all the way to the right side, and the orchestra's in the middle. It's really an amazing sound.
Yeah. Your organ concerto was revised a little bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I had four movements originally, and the fourth movement had a different title, and also I just thought, when I realized that for the recording Paul Jacobs was going to be the organist, I thought, you know, I really need to have a fourth movement that really shows off the organ and shows off the foot pedals. And I had more experience writing for organ, and had wanted to write something really that would use the full technical abilities of like a Paul Jacobs. So the last movement, I wrote a completely new movement, the Xanadu movement, and it basically is an etude for the foot pedals, really, is what it turns out to be. And it is much more difficult than the other three movements, but also it's good because it really pulls the organ out front. And in this movement, I do call and response back and forth, So each movement, the organ, like the first movement, the organ kind of blends in with the orchestra. The second movement, the organ is very melodic. The third movement, it's very dramatic. And then the fourth movement really is a virtuosic work of the organ, where you have to be a very, very good organist to play it. And there's big moments for the orchestra. And also, I think I go through every key. I modulate. I keep modulating and keep going and going, like up a second or up a third. And I remember at the ending, it's like, I'd also have like four endings. I'm kind of like a, sometimes, you know, it's hard to end a film and you have an ending and then you have another ending. So right. I end it. Oh, I got to keep going and going. And then finally, you know, like you think it's going to end. And then I pull it up another notch and transpose it up one more time. Okay. And it's kind of over the top. And I think that it becomes so over the top that it just, it's like a thrill ride. You know, it's like you're taking the roller coaster. Is there yet another, you know, turn? Oh, yes, another one, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
And we're going to hear it live with the Toledo Symphony. That's this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, 8 o'clock at the Toledo Museum of Art, Paris style, with the Skinner organ, Paul Jacobs, and of course the Toledo Symphony with guest conductor Leo Quokman as well. And I want to thank you so much for inviting me into your home, into your studio, and giving us your time here on FM 91.
Thank you so much for having me.